Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. On this week's show, I talk with 81-year-old Phyllis Adams. Born in the Mallee, Phyllis tells of some of her experiences with her parents as a child before moving to the Yarra Valley as a young woman, where she married and subsequently worked all her adult life until last year in the garage owned by her and her late husband, Jack. What I would like to do is to simply start by just asking you when you were born and where you were born.
I was born in the Mallee, Coorong Vale.
Right.
In 1923.
1923, so that makes you 81 years young.
Yes.
Oh, you're a very sprightly looking 81. I hope I look like you do when I'm 81, Phyllis.
Yes.
What are some of your earliest memories then of childhood and the Mallee?
Well, my dad was a beekeeper and we had to sort of move around from place to place following the honey.
So as a child you had a lot of homes then?
Yes.
So that...
Homes as they know them now, mind you. But, of course, in the Mallee it was warm and there were just cottages and sometimes tents and all that.
So it was pretty rough for a young girl?
I wouldn't say that. I didn't notice the thing.
You didn't notice that it was just part of your life?
Mm.
Were they born in Australia, your mum and dad?
Dad was born up around Rushworth, I think it was. Gee, you forget quickly. And Mum was a Mallee girl. Mum lived till she was 84, I think it was. She only died, you know, just a few years ago.
Did Mum ever talk much about the early years in the Mallee?
Always.
Yeah,
we could sit and listen to Mum. The boys tell a story about her. She's a great fish lady, you know, because they had to have fish on their diet for so long. And they used to wear the long aprons with the huge pockets, you know, to put the fish in, whatever.
Right.
When I was a baby, she carried me in that apron, but she saw this fish on the line one day. It was so big and beautiful. She forgot all about me. Stood up and I went in the river. And my three brothers tell me that as I came up, they had it in turns of pushing me down under again, but didn't get rid of me. But that's the way they got their fun years ago, you know. If there wasn't any there, they made some.
Yes, that's right. So Mum caught fish for a living, did she?
No, for food.
For the family?
For the family. There wasn't much in beekeeping. Dad got prizes for honey in England, you know.
Is that right?
He had a perfect specimen of it.
Did you get a chance to go to school as a young girl?
Oh, yes. I went to school and then I came down here and when I left school and was working, and then Norm, Goldie, my brother, he had the bus service here and they also had a new little infant and she needed a lot of attention, so
right.
It was my job to look after her and clean the buses out and that sort of thing.
How old were you then?
Oh, I'd be 15, I suppose.
15?
Mm.
So that was really your first job?
Yes, I worked at Rushworth, but I came down to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Did you enjoy doing that?
Oh, yes.
What was it about it that you enjoyed?
Well, we're pretty strong family people, and having a new little baby, she was premature too, and so, you know, it was good looking after and stuff, see her coming on. She was only 3 pound born, and so, you know, way back there it wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't. Did you come from a big family then?
There was 6 kids in our family.
And where were you in the 6? Were you in the middle or the
baby.
Oldest? You were the baby, so you had everybody looking after you at some stage. So you left school before you were 15, or you were working with the buses and going to school?
No.
You'd left school, had you?
Yes.
Okay. What was life like in the valley in those early days?
Oh, always beautiful.
Boy, well, that's easy to see. It is a beautiful place.
Yes, I mean, the hills have been my love since then. And
other than working with the buses, what else did a 15-year-old girl do?
Those days, housework, well, during the war too, that came soon. And you had a few jobs because there was a shortage of workers, you know, away at the war, and they changed things. So I was helping in a butcher shop too near a junction. And whatever, or whoever needed help, you know, our age group sort of went around and...
Yes. Did the war years have much of an impact on you?
Well, we didn't realise it then because that's what happened, and, you know, you just bucked in and did what you had to do and...
Right.
It's a sad time.
Well, when you say it's a sad time, what sad things do you recall? What makes you say that?
Oh, the young people going off and not knowing if they were going to return. There was a lot didn't return.
No, well, that is sad.
Yes.
Did you have anybody in your family go to fight?
Well, later on, Jack, he was in the army for a time.
Right.
Yes, and... Yes, and I was called after an uncle that was killed during the war. My name's Phyllis, and it's spelled with an I and not a Y in his honour. So,
well, that's nice.
His name was Philip.
That's really nice.
Yes.
Okay, so you were a 15, 16, 17-year-old girl during the early war years. When did you meet Jack, your husband-to-be?
When I came down here.
So you were still basically a girl at that stage?
Yes.
A young girl. Mm. Right. What can you remember of Jack? How did he strike you?
Oh, he was a wonderful person. He loved people and he loved cars. He loved the bush later on. He worked in... he had a truck similar to the one there with the logs on. They carted those up in the hills to... Maryvale and...
So he owned a truck or he drove a truck?
We had trucks.
You had trucks.
The garage.
Oh, all right. Because you had the garage as well, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And so were these trucks really your father's or who when you say the garage?
Jack's. My husband.
Oh, he owned the garage and he owned the truck, so he must have been fairly well off.
In what way?
Because of the expense of running all
work.
This. Of work. Well...
He loved work.
Did he? And was he actually a logger himself, or did he drive just drive
he
trucks?
He went out and helped if they were short.
Right. Have you got any logging stories you can recall, any of the adventures he had?
Well, it was always early rising, you know. Someone said to me today, was I getting up to see the opening of the games and the 3:30 or something? I said, oh, well, we got used to that when we had the trucks, you know, you had to get up then and head off for the hills and, yes, it was a long day.
Yes.
When he'd go to work, I would have the garage to look after and there were a lot of truckies then who came in the early hours to get going as well, so.
That was a lot of responsibility for a young woman, wasn't it? Or did you just take that in your stride, that's the way it was?
Yes. We liked work and we could see things and we had the kids to think of, children to think of, and, you know, well, Lindsay's still driving a truck.
Lindsay is...
My eldest son.
Right.
Yes, and that's the one he drives now. And actually the boy over here, it's not a nice picture of him. He passed away just last year.
That's Ashley, is it?
Ashley.
Yes.
He drove for us for years. And then...
To Older Voices, and you're listening to a Golden Moments program.
So timber has been very much part of your life.
Yes.
How do you respond when you hear people talking about the fact then that the forest, all the trees should be left there and nobody should ever cut trees down?
Ridiculous.
I assume that the Jack and all the people he worked with, I mean, although they cut the trees down, it was very much part of their lives, and they really maintained the forest. Would that be right? Because it was their livelihood?
For sure. Most of them just adored the trees, and, you know, they looked after that forest always.
Always.
Yes.
So it must have been, and must still be distressing when you hear people talk about, you know, how the loggers don't care for the forests.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
It really cuts into you.
Yes, I can imagine it does.
Yes.
What did you and Jack do for social life? I mean, he obviously didn't work 7 days a week, all day and all night. But maybe he did.
Nearly did.
Nearly did.
Nearly did, yes. We didn't have much time. We liked our church.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to have the Sunday school at Gilderoy in Powelltown, and yes, and I loved children, see them growing up and try to keep them on the straight and narrow.
If you had a group of young people in the room now and you were talking to them, what would you talk to them about these days? What is it that concerns you most about life these days?
Oh, the drink.
The drink?
The biggest one is the drink, I think, and the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard, or it must be so hard on the parents that can't do anything about it.
So why, when you were children, now obviously drugs weren't available, but drink was, mm-hmm. What was the difference? Why were the people in your generation not so affected by alcohol as they seem to be these days? What's the difference?
That's a good question. Because years ago they didn't have money to buy drink and food, so a lot of them went without.
Do you think these days the kids get too much too easy?
Oh, yes.
Coming from a bush town, which is what the junction certainly was then, and lots of timber and logging, bush fires must have been very much part of your life.
All the time.
Have you any recollections?
And, you know, it was on your mind all the time. Yes, the minute we'd see smoke somewhere, there'd be packing up, and we'd spray around with water or whatever we could and keep an eye on it. And it was like the army starting up when there was a bushfire, you know, because it just gets like the wind has been lately, choppy, and that's when you dread the north wind.
Do you recall any particularly nasty fires that gave you concern?
Yes, well, about 5 years ago, you know, we had sort of packed up a few times the essentials, and we're more or less waiting. But there's such a good crowd of people in the valley that they all clump together.
Did Jack ever fight fires?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Very much part of his life, was it? Mm. Were you ever concerned about that? Him going off like that?
Oh, yes. Any of them that go up the bush, it worries you. Yes.
Mm. Can you recall any stories that he might have told you about the fires or anything you can recall in the old days?
Yeah, they just sort of took it for granted, you know. They knew it would be there again next year and so.
Yes, yes. Now, I noticed that on your small table there, you've got a frame with Jack's name on it. He fought overseas then, did he?
It was a sore point with Jack. He was in a division. Some of them left and were overseas. And his division went to Queensland as a step. The next step was off overseas. But thankfully, peace was declared and he didn't go. But he never got over not being sent, you know, because a lot of them called them names and that when they...
And there was nothing he could do about it.
No, there was not. He was a volunteer and he was there for the use of it.
Right. So he was unhappy, but you were quite happy that he didn't go overseas fighting.
Yes, we've been through it once with our uncles and aunties.
Oh, Phyllis has just given me a picture of... This is your family, is it?
Yes.
Oh, aren't they wonderful looking children? That's Jack.
Yes.
Gee, he must have been very proud of his family.
Oh, he was. He was a great family man. That's Lindsay, the eldest one. Ted.
Right.
We lost him 2 years ago. Jeanette, Jack and Marilyn.
Oh, what beautiful children.
Yes.
So life must have been very lovely for you with so many children growing up around you.
Oh, we had, you know, lots and lots of children on weekends and things. They're still coming in. There was one came in the other day and said hello, took his hat off, and I thought, oh, I've seen you before. He said, have you got any petrol and oil? I thought, oh, he's one of our customers. And then another time I went to meet one of the ladies in the home here, her son, and he said, you don't need to introduce me to Mrs. Adams. He said, I used to get the petrol and oil for the motorbike out of the garage.
Isn't that amazing?
And, you know, they all still come back, just popping in.
That must give you great pleasure.
Oh, it is, yes. It's marvellous to be remembered, you know. Some of them are 50, 60 and getting on that way now. But, no, 14, it's gone was the usual thing. But
well, what I have learnt in my few years on this planet is that people usually only come back like that when you've been so kind and nice to them in the first place. So you must have always had people around you and you must have been treating them really nicely.
Oh, yes, we did. We're very lucky with our friends and family.
So most of the contacts were through the garage because you were there so often, I guess.
Yes, well, the house was next to the garage as well, so it was a big family affair and a great place for the children. And then my grandchildren.
And then your grandchildren.
And then my great-grandchildren.
So your children grew up around the garage as well, and your grandchildren.
That's... Yes. Lindsay's a great mechanic, and Ted was. He had the Yarra Junction garage. And Jack is a builder, and he can do anything. They've all got good jobs.
What were you really good at?
Making cuppers.
Making cuppers.
They told me that.
Well, that is very Australian, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
So, Phyllis, look, I'm just looking at this booklet you gave me, Memoirs of a Tram Driver, and it's got this beautiful, I think it's a Clydesdale, certainly a very large horse. When you were a child, were most of the logging done with horses, or did they have trucks then?
No, horses and the little tractors, you know, the old Fordsons and things
like that. Did you or your family have any horses?
No.
So you didn't actually come into contact with horses yourself?
To plough our own bit of land around the grange, we did, yes.
You ploughed it. What was this for, vegetables?
Everything. Potatoes, mostly.
Okay.
It's great potato country.
So this was a way of supplementing your income, getting extra income, or was this just for the family?
No, for the income.
For the income. Mm.
Yes, that was when Jack was out of the army and then, you know, looking for something because he'd bought the block years before that.
Now, life with your young family, was that difficult for you?
No, because we, you know, had looked forward to it for so many years. Mm.
So it was easy to bring up kids around here? Children?
Yes.
It was. Okay.
Yes, I had lots of friends, you know, mixing with each household and so on.
And did they manage to stay out of trouble mostly?
Yes.
Congratulations, that's an achievement.
Quite proud of our locals, really.
Right. Mm. What are some of the other things that you can remember about your early years?
Dressing up one of the family for Christmas, Father Christmas, and so on. I have great fun in the country towns when the kiddies are growing up. You know, I had three boys, you see, so they had lots of mates, and they'd bring their mates.
So Jack came back from the war. He got the garage going as a concern. He worked very hard for many years. How long did he work the garage for? You know, approximately, is it 5, 10 years longer?
Oh, no, it was more like 40.
That's right, 40 years he worked it. That was a real commitment.
Yes, well, the boys went through apprenticeships and things, so it was all quite handy.
And what happened when he sold the garage? Mm. What did you do then? That must have been like a big hole in your life after 40 years.
It still is. It's just last year that I had to give up.
Is that right? Mm. You were working up until last year?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yes.
40 years you've given service to this community.
Mm.
You must be very proud of that. And pleased.
Yes, I am. And, you know, helped a lot of other people as well going along. You know, when people are travelling, they get into all sorts of strife and break down, didn't have tyres, and Jack had run up a wheel and helped them, you know, get the car going. And then you'd find the ones that couldn't get home in their own vehicle or would have to make a bed up for them for the night.
Is that right? So sometimes you operated like a hotel as well.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Goodness me. So here you are, you've got a family, you've got a garage, and you're trying to put people up that couldn't get home. Phyllis, that's amazing.
Mm.
If there was anything you wanted to be remembered for, what would that be?
I think helping people in the church and the Sunday school. That was a big achievement for me.
You keep mentioning the church. Did you have a very large involvement with the local church?
Oh, it was our local church at Powelltown.
Interdenominational.
Yes. Everybody came, yes. And that's only just closed recently.
That must have been rather sad for you to hear it closed.
People are different now. They don't use the church like they did as a meeting place and fun lovers.
So it was not just a place of worship, but it was a place for social gatherings as well, was it?
Yes, you know.
What sort of social gatherings would you have there?
Oh, if someone was leaving the area or anything like that, or special elderly people's birthdays. And
So it was really bringing people together and the community coming together.
Yes. And I had a guild and a Sunday school and, yes, a happy crowd.
So your memories really are of just good times and people being together and coming together and helping each other. And the world could be a much better place today if they were still doing that, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. I regret that a lot of children will never see that.
So I think we all will, Phyllis.
Yes. Because friendship and love stay with you forever, you know, and you can pass that on.
Well, Phyllis, I think they're lovely words for us to finish with. Because passing love on, I think, is probably one of the best things that we can do as a human being.
Yes.
Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.